several miles off the main highway. Tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me.
Don't. It's Grape Encounters Radio, the unpretentious little wine show hosted by David Wilson. And we have so many things to talk to you about. We're coming to you from the super secret broadcast location. Some people call it the bunker. In fact, it got dubbed that by one of our guests who has come here, along with our first female guest to come to the bunker aboard our very special John Deere tractor. And they'll be joining us in just a minute. Right at the moment, they're wandering around looking at all the super cool things that we have here in this gigantic secret studio. So hang on, we'll bring them to the microphone in just a minute. But gosh, there are so many things that I wanted to talk to you about that have happened this week. It's been a really, really long week. But it all started earlier in the week when I was invited to a dinner party by friends, and I forgot to take wine with me. And so I got on the road. They live about an hour and a half from my house. And I kept thinking, gotta stop for wine, gotta stop for wine. And I got pretty close to their place, and they live in a very upscale area. So I figured I wouldn't have any problem finding wine. But woe is me, I punched liquor stores and grocery stores into my nav system, but did not come up with anything worthwhile. The only thing that came up was a really super big health food store. And so I thought, hey, what the heck? The health food stores carry wine. So I went in there. And in fact, they had a very, very long aisle of wine that stretched from one end of the store to the other. And it was all organic wines. And you know what? I don't know a lot about organic wines. I never checked to see if they're organic or not. But I bought six of them because I got this six-bottle discount. Actually, they should have given it to me for half price because my experience later that evening was not all that pleasant. I opened the first bottle of wine, poured it for everybody, and then promptly retrieved their glasses and poured it out, not because the wine had turned, just because the wine should never have been put in the bottle in the first place. It should have just been made into organic vinegar. It was absolutely horrible. Opened up the second bottle. Yikes! Same experience, an absolutely terrible, terrible wine, and we did not drink that one either. This happened on the third and fourth bottle as well, and actually, finally, we ended up drinking my friend's bottle of wine, which he wanted us to start with in the first place. I tried the remaining two organic wines later on in the week, and they too were absolutely awful. So I'm not saying that organic wine stinks. I'm just saying I have no idea which ones to buy. So if somebody's got a recommendation, please make it because I screwed up badly. And I'm not going to tell you what the health food store was. It was one of the big ones. But gosh, they've got to do better than that. And maybe some shelf talkers would help so we'd know what to buy in the organic wine department. Anyway, last weekend, besides doing the show, I did the Solvang Prelude bike ride and stayed on a big ranch outside of the Santa Ynez Valley with friends. We had a great big old party at this wonderful spread that they have. And oh, that was a lot of fun. We decided to sign up for the 50-mile ride, and we headed out with every intention of finishing the ride, but then we got into one of the great little Santa Ynez Valley towns, and decided to stop and have lunch instead of eat granola bars and slices of cantaloupe like they usually do on the rides. Anyway, I stopped at one of my favorite restaurants there, went in and introduced myself to the new manager of this restaurant, and then we grabbed a table outside and got A, pretty rotten service, B, served an almost unpalatable meal. I could not believe that they would actually bring out plates with what was supposed to be a salad consisting of rotten and shriveled up lettuce, and everybody in my party got the same thing. It was absolutely horrific, and when we complained, they did very little about it except to bring out more of the equally disgusting lettuce. Anyway, after the ride, we didn't do the whole thing, but we did our own version of it. We went to Vons. There's a very big Vons not too far from the ranch, and this time I bought some more wines randomly. I bought six wines again. Got the six wine discount, and I bought wines that I had never seen before. Picked some things to go with an incredible creamed corn that I made that contained king crab meat, and boy, was that good. But I had a completely different experience with the second batch of randomly chosen wines. There were some great wines in that batch, and they were all between $12 and $20. Among the best, two wines that really captured my imagination, one called Monogamy and one called Promiscuous. And I decided I wanted to learn more about these wines. They were really, really very good. And I'm going to talk about them later on in the show because I think you're going to find the story of these two wines very, very interesting. They were terrific. But speaking of modestly priced wines, we had Clive Pursehouse from the Oregon Wine Blog, but he was talking about Washington wines last time we had him on. And a column appeared this week on the Oregon Wine Blog, which is a lot like Grape Encounters Radio because they're all about fun. And this is what they said. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I was really, really taken aback by this column. He said, David Wilson of Grape Encounters Radio has basically taken over the state of California. His radio show has a similar format to what we're doing here at the Oregon Wine Blog. He approaches wine without pretense, focusing on the experience, and he has a top secret location. Every time I check in with David, there's a bevy of new stations that are carrying him all over California. One of the things that I appreciate about David is that he looks at wine from every perspective. Envelopes are pushed, corks are popped, and screw caps are twisted, perhaps begrudgingly. And a general good time is had on Grape Encounters. If you're not currently listening, check them out on the interwebs or on iTunes. One of his biggest markets is actually Seattle. Well, that's true. Which is fortunate for me because it allows me to work a Northwest angle when I appear on his show, as I did recently to talk about Forge Your Own Cellars and our all-too-fleeting youth. Yes, we had an absolutely great interview a few weeks back, and you can find it in the Grape Encounters Radio archive on grapeencountersradio.com. All of our shows are there. Clive, you're a great guy. And please, folks, check out the Oregon Wine Blog and read this whole story about our interview pertaining to the Forger and Sellers wines. They're really making some great wines there. So much more to talk about. We're going to drag our guests over here to the microphone. We have so much more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
You know, when we started this little unpretentious wine radio show more than a year and a half ago, I never dreamed that we would develop such a large listener base, but it's happened. We have so many people listening on regular radio and also listening to us on the internet. It really totally astounds me. And what astounds me more is how many of you write to us every single week, both on Facebook and on grapeencountersradio.com. But you know, a lot of the letters that I get from you all are requests to talk about subjects that actually we've already talked about. So I want to encourage you to definitely check out the shows button on Grape Encounters Radio, because we've got every show that we've ever recorded archived there, and you can find a lot of great interviews with some really amazing people and a lot of discussions of some really, really interesting and fun topics. So be sure to check out shows at grapeencountersradio.com. There's lots for you to listen to there.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Hey, Grape Encounters listeners, you know that I love to pitch the Sarlos & Sons wines, but you know what? Truth is, they're almost gone, and we've got here in the studio Katie Woods and Keith Sarlos. Tell me, inventory's almost done. What shall they do?
Well, we have about 20 cases left of our daughter Chardonnay. We have about 15 cases left of our Solo Syrah. We have about 50 cases left of our 1946 Syrah Cab Blend, and less than 20 of our Bordeaux. But we will have more coming out at the beginning of next year.
Which is just a couple of months, right?
Yeah, we'll be out end of February, I believe. So we're 95% sold out of everything.
So your recommendation, Katie?
Go to the website, buy it before we raise the
SarlosandSons.com.
Or go to the wine tasting room next door, right?
Absolutely.
No, seriously, guys, this is it. It's almost gone.
Yeah, once it's gone, it's gone forever. We never really remake wines. It's one-time deal.
Buy Sarlos & Sons at SarlosandSons.com.
We will sell out, but we're never selling out.
My heart is drenched in wine, but you'll be on my mind.
Yes, it's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson here in the super secret hideaway with my most favorite guest, who refers to the secret hideaway as the bunker. It is Keith Sarlos. You know the voice, absolutely, because if you are a fan of Grape Encounters Radio, then you know Keith Sarlos. You probably think of him as a brother.
I like that. That's good.
There's clapping in the background. Go ahead. You can clap in the background.
Awesome.
And now everybody's going, wait a second. I hear a woman's voice in the bunker. And we've not had a woman in the bunker, actually the super secret hideaway, until today. And Keith dragged with him on the John Deere tractor, Katie Woods. And Katie, actually, you've been on the show before, though, when we've been out of the bunker, right?
I have. We were actually working in the tasting room when you guys came for Wine Wars.
Oh, Wine Wars. And for those who don't know what Wine Wars was, Wine Wars took place, I guess back in March of this year.
March.
And we had a winery from Landon, Texas. These folks, they make a pretty good wine. And I was in Landon, Texas, not Landon, Texas, but McKinney, Texas.
McKinney.
It's the Landon Winery, Bob Landon. And Whitney Williams, his faithful sidekick, had actually taunted us talking about how good their wines were compared to California wines.
It was fun.
And we mentioned this to the Sarlos folks in Los Olivos, California, for those of you listening out of state, maybe out of the country. And a duel began because you know how Texas people are. They're
they go big or they go home.
Well, they do, and they're contentious. Actually,
absolutely.
If you ask me. They, you know, when they think something's great, they think it's great. Anyway, they threw the gauntlet down. Next thing you know, we had wine wars, and we had a packed house. There were like 500 people here that day.
In and out. The traffic foot was probably 900 people.
And I couldn't believe that actually in Los Olivos they had to set up traffic stops and things like that and put those illuminated signs out to get people to slow down. Special event. The guard did, and it really was. It was an event that the police actually kept an eye on, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the end, it was a tie because Sarlos and Sons won the red category, and the Texans won the white. So anyway, that was then. It's not why we're here today. You know what, guys? I'm glad first of all that you brought Katie because I have had something on my mind. I've been trying to talk about it over the past couple of shows. And in fact, we were out. I don't know if you heard the show. We were out in Indian Wells, California, at the Desert Cities Women's Show, which was featuring a lot of products and services for women. But we were also out there. Excuse me. We were also out there talking wine, and we got into the subject of wine and gender. And there were some very interesting things that came out on that show. Didn't have nearly enough time to get into it, but I've been wanting to get into it more. I've also been wanting to get more into the subjects of wine and intelligence and wine and personality. I thought maybe we could take a little time to tackle that. And Katie is not a person who is known to be shy or without opinion. Right? So
absolutely.
So Keith, you loaded her aboard the John Deere tractor. Were you treated nice on the tractor, by the way?
I was roughed around a little bit here and there.
Who roughed you around?
I don't know. I had a blindfold on. So I didn't know how I got there.
Don't. This is going to have to be cut from the show. We can't say that you were roughed up on the tractor.
Yeah, I was just blindfolded.
I'm actually sipping a Sarlos and Sons wine here. This is almost the last of the vintage, right? This is Brothers?
Yeah, that's Brothers. That's our Bordeaux-style blend.
And I'm glad it didn't get too mangled on the tractor. Thank you for bringing along.
No problem.
We've got some good stuff in the bunker, by the way, and we'll crack that out after the show, but I don't really want to talk about it on the air because then other bunker guests in the future will expect that kind of treatment, and that's not necessarily going
to
happen.
You have to bring a good wine to get good wine.
Yeah. And I hope you guys can hear Keith. He's over there in the corner.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we don't need.
To talk. You don't want to talk.
They're making.
It's not like the big studios where there are microphones all over the place, Keith.
This is very, very intimate.
Very,
very. There's dim lighting. I wish I could.
Seriously,
say more.
What do you think of the bunker? It's not anything. I mean, it's not a bunker. It's a barn. It's a big barn. It's beautifully decorated, by the way.
Absolutely, the chandeliers are awesome. It smells. Definitely a little musty.
It's wet hay.
Absolutely, wet hay.
Okay, so at the women's show, we got into the subject of gender and wine drinking. Okay. And I spewed some interesting stats out there. I don't have the exact studies with me, but I know them pretty well. And actually, there are different studies that say different things. But the upshot of it is that what I think we have come to believe about wine preferences and wine buying habits broken down between men and women is not really... the truth. You know, truth is not, reality is not what we believe.
Yeah, I think a lot of people come in and
you don't even know what the question is at this point, but they come in to do what? I'm sorry.
Pretty much for me, when I see somebody walk into the tasting room, I assume if you're a girl, you like white and you like sweet wine. Working here for the past year, I understand that there's no gender involved anymore.
Girls, that's it. That's the big thing right there.
I can't judge them automatically. Girls do not necessarily like white sweet wines.
Study after study, believe it or not, study after study shows that it's just the opposite, actually. Not that men like wine or white wine more, but that women prefer reds in the same way that men do.
I think
they prefer reds, period.
I think it'd be much more regional now because you have, when people come in, they say they're from the Midwest in a strange way. Usually they like...
Wait. They say they're from the Midwest in a strange way?
No. If they say...
Like,
well, yeah,
I'm from the Midwest.
And they say they have their stuff in a bag. The bag.
I got my wine here in the bag. I got that on the street corner.
Most of my cousins live in the Midwest. They're pretty good.
Yes.
But they typically lean a little towards the sweeter wines.
Do you think you'll ever do a wine that is based on your cousins and named after that? Like beggars, maybe?
Yeah, we definitely. This year we're doing something a little bit... unique. We have a Grenache Blanc that we're going to let hang out there and create a sweet wine after, and we've never done that before.
What's the deal with that?
We had a little left over, and we're just letting it hang as much as possible and get really high bricks, and we're going to see where it goes. It kind of falls in the Sarlos tradition of experimentation. We don't know if it's going to be the worst thing in the world or the best thing in the world, but we have to try.
So going back to Katie for a second, you've worked in the tasting room for over a year.
Yeah, a year and a few days, actually.
And you're kind of like the tasting room's version of the Nazi soup kitchen. I mean, no?
No way.
You're not tough on that?
How did you get the job?
No, how did you get the job?
I was living in San Diego, and I was moving back home, and I actually emailed Keith on Facebook, and I said, hey, if you need help at the tasting room, let me know.
Did you know Keith?
Yes, I knew him. He actually owned a coffee shop in town that all my girlfriends worked at growing up, and I would go in there and do my homework and ask him for help on math, and he would just make fun of me the whole time, poke at me.
Wait, well, let me understand this. So you owned a coffee shop where young, pretty girls came to get your assistance with homework.
No, it's actually pretty funny. Everybody who has worked for us or our family, like Tyler Eubanks, who's here, who you've interviewed before.
Sure.
She's worked for us since she was about 15. I think she's only had one job besides the coffee shop in here that she worked for someone else. A bunch of the other girls all work for our family as well. And Katie was kind of an ancillary. She basically never worked for me, but was always around. So she was kind of, I've known her since she was 15.
So what was the deal that you would actually wean them on coffee? And then as they got old enough, you would graduate them into wine?
Exactly.
Okay. When you were first drinking wine, were you drinking white or were you drinking red?
I was drinking white. I thought that since my mom loved white wine, that I would love white wine. And then working at the tasting room, understanding the wines, seeing how they pick the wines, you know, learning stuff about bottling, learning my own personal taste, my own personal, you know, what I like, I realized that I do enjoy reds a lot more.
Yeah, see, I really don't understand this, Ken. It's like with food, it's completely different. Like, for instance, you can tell me why I should appreciate liver and onions until I'm blue in the face. I'm not going to eat liver and onions. I don't like sweet potatoes either. You can't make me appreciate sweet potatoes.
But don't you think people traditionally, because wine is very traditional and wine is not something that's around the table every night.
Yep, sweet potatoes are at Thanksgiving every year and right. I won't eat them.
Well, look, we'll go into wine. Like Katie thought she'd like white wine because her mom did. And it's like a guy thinking he's going to like a certain beer because his dad did. You start off with that. You walk in, and then you start exploring and finding out what you like, and that is the fun part of wine. There's so much out there to explore and find out what you like.
Okay, so here's
it's like listening to a certain type of music just because your dad did, and you think you're going to. There's so much to learn.
Well, there's an interesting part of all this. It's something that we talked about in last week's show, and that is the fact that young people, for instance, will start off in sweet wines. Why? Why do you think?
Personally, I started off in sweet wines thinking, growing up, when I turned 21, I was having, you know, beer. I was ordering cocktails, fruitier drinks. And the moment I got into the wine industry and wanted to explore it more, I wanted something sweeter. I was too scared.
You're super close. I don't think that you're going to win today's grand prize, but you're very, no.
Like Boone's Farm's real sweet.
No, it's not the reason. But you guys are dancing, literally dancing around the periphery of the right answer.
It has to be something with sugar.
Yes, it does.
Sugar based.
It does. And what do young kids
taste like? Smirnoff Ice.
No.
That's good. A lot of sugar.
Walk into a 7-Eleven, and what do you see that you didn't see when I was a kid? You see every
energy drinks.
Well, you see sugared beverages of every conceivable
soda
type. So, you know, kids are into sugar. They live on sugar. Why is it that so many kids today are obese? And they weren't 30 years ago. Mm. The answer is sugar, 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 sugar. Yeah. They're being force-fed sugar. So when they decide they want to start drinking alcoholic beverages, they migrate toward the sweet ones, and they go for the sweet wines. It's not because they don't like the dry ones. It's just they were weaned on sweet.
Really?
Yes. It's a fact.
Sweet wine
does taste
good.
Here first in the bunker. Here, you heard it first. Makes sense. It makes sense, does it not?
It does, but sweet wine is delicious. Don't get me wrong.
It tastes like fruit punch.
Yeah, it is fruit punch, a version of it, more expensive version of fruit punch.
You know, I never really, I have called it fruit punch before, but in reality, it actually is fruit punch, is it not?
It really
is.
That is
a fruit punch.
Spiked fruit punch.
Yeah, but anyway, so that's one of the reasons why the younger crowd will begin drinking sweeter wines, and it's not because they dislike the drier wines, it's just they haven't been introduced to things of that nature. It's a new thing for them.
Is Strawberry Hill a wine?
Huh?
Or Boone's Farm? Is that considered a wine?
I, Yes, it's considered a wine, but I don't know why you would even bring that up on this show.
But you're talking just about young drinkers.
Take the show down to a level that it's never been to before.
About young drinkers are going in and they're buying their wine not in a wine store. They're buying something for $5. Their goal is not appreciation.
Well, that's not entirely true either, but we've got to explore this more deeply,
and we will do just exactly that.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
You know, when we started this little unpretentious wine radio show more than a year and a half ago, I never dreamed that we would develop such a large listener base, but it's happened. We have so many people listening on regular radio and also listening to us on the internet. It really totally astounds me. And what astounds me more is how many of you write to us every single week, both on Facebook and on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. But you know, a lot of the letters that I get from you all are requests to talk about subjects that actually we've already talked about. So I want to encourage you to definitely check out the shows button on Grape Encounters Radio, because we've got every show that we've ever recorded archived there, and you can find a lot of great interviews with some really amazing people and a lot of discussions of some really, really interesting and fun topics. So be sure to check out shows at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. There's lots for you to listen to there.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
Hey, Grape Encounters listeners, I'm sitting here with Keith Sarlos and Katie Woods, who runs the tasting room. And I was looking at the sign in the tasting room because you're selling a wine. It was in short supply last year, Ring Effie Unk. For what, like $4,000 a bottle? It was $30 a bottle last year. The wines are selling out, huh?
Absolutely. We are 95% sold out of all of our wines.
So if you want Sarlos & Sons wines, you have to do what, Keith?
I have to go to the website, go to sarlosandsons.com, place your order now, buy as much as you can, because once it's gone, it's gone forever.
If I wanted to have my cousin Jethro just pull his pickup truck here and just load it up with what is left, could I buy everything and resell it for big dollars?
We've seen a few people doing that online already, and we have actually a couple people have some wines from last year that I have very little amount of, and I've had to trade my personal stuff to get those bottles.
Okay, so come to sarlosandsons.com, buy the wine before Wall Street screws the whole thing up. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio. Back with Grape Encounters Radio. Gosh, we have barely moved the needle on the topic that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about three things today and get clarification, but no, we had to bring Katie Woods in. She works the wine tasting room at Sarlos and Sons.
Miss Millennial.
Yes, and she's a millennial, and we're talking about why it is that... well, actually, the larger question is why Americans in general tend to have a sweeter palate. And the reason is because we Americans are more likely to have been raised on soda pop, where, by the way, in Europe, okay, they will actually, you know, more likely pour a child a glass of, let's say, Bordeaux. They'll put a little water in it and less likely to pour them Coca-Cola. Not to say that that's the rule.
Yeah, my kids brought unfermented Sauvignon Blanc juice to school this year.
And how long have they been suspended for?
They haven't, actually.
them, the teacher just...
I'm not going to say this out loud, but we had a bottle of it that was sitting in the fridge here at the tasting room, and it started going through fermentation. It exploded the cork out of it. It was pretty fun. Quite a mess.
It was the juice. It wasn't meant to be a wine.
No, it wasn't meant to be a wine because my daughter and my son, they love the
juice. Oh, I see.
And it's packed full of fiber and sugar and everything else.
So it actually fermented.
Yeah.
And they took it in and then...
No, they didn't bring it in. We just saw...
Oh, I was going to say, the teachers are going, oh, those Sarlos family,
the
yes.
The funny thing is, that is a pretty common occurrence around here. Kids bringing in, like, basically raw juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just happened. It's like grape juice, but it just happens to be from... It's Cabernet or Pinot or Sauvignon Blanc, and they bring it into...
Now, you had a question you wanted to ask me about? You've forgotten now. I forgot.
What is a millennial?
Millennial is the generation after Gen X.
Okay. So what's that age group? Like 30, like 21 to 31?
I think it's below 30, I believe.
Below 30. 20 to 30.
But I'm not an expert at this, I'm so far behind now, I'm called the lost generation.
No. Womp, womp.
You know what? As long as baby boomers are still alive, I feel young. That's good. As long as and I like that the baby boomers have the word baby in their name because they get to stay young at least in spirit with their name. Yeah.
50 is the new 30.
Yeah, I'm going actually after the show, I'm going bungee jumping with my mom. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. And in fact, I'm strapping myself onto her. It's going to be a really cool thing. Anyway, it's Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here with Keith Sarlos. And by the way, I want to explain a little bit more about Keith. I didn't know Keith from Adam a year and a half or so ago. I didn't know him. I knew Adam well. And Keith and Adam looked a lot alike. But the thing was that people had told me about Keith and his family, and they had opened up this really hip tasting room. And then I came over, and they had their grand opening on my birthday. And because my friends didn't want to spring for a real birthday party, they took me to Keith and his family's grand opening because there were lots of hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and they said that was my birthday party that they were throwing for me at this thing. And that's how that all came down. And then Keith and I got to know each other, and I was like, totally amazed by how hip the tasting room was because it totally flew in the face of other tasting rooms and winemaking operations and stuff. And I thought, oh, this guy's going to take a whole lot of garbage from other winemakers, this family. They're going to be ostracized. That's it. But no, everybody is copying the Sarloses now because, you know, playing like really hip music, doing some really cool things with their blends. You know, there's just like, I just can't even begin to tell you how different the Sarlos operation is and how many people are, I think, eyeballing it and copycatting this concept. We decided on Grape Encounters Radio that we were going to copycat you as well and try to really use your attitude as the basis of the Grape Encounters attitude. And I think
movement in wine.
I think we've done well with that.
Absolutely.
By the way,
I think you guys hit it right down the middle. I think you've done an excellent job. Even the people you talk to, you know, wine being exclusive, I think is over. Wine being inclusive is where it's going to be. There was an age of rich people making wine for rich people. And now wine really is for the masses. And the more we make of it and the more enjoyable it is. And Two Buck Chuck brought it to a $2 level where anybody could kind of get into wine and feel their way around it. And now I think we're at a really fun place of exploration. Young people, you know, Katie, we were just talking about millennials. Katie's a millennial and her friends and her peers are in here all the time and exploring wine and really finding it out for themselves rather than drinking what mom drank.
Yeah. And see, so going back to that sweet versus dry thing, what happens is that it's the younger wine drinkers do not have an aversion to the dry wines. They just haven't really been introduced to them. They taste them, right? Is that what happens in the
tasting room?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You have
no idea. Once you sit down, you do a tasting, you taste all the wines, and you actually realize, you know, what your palate likes and what it doesn't.
Now, let's shift gears for a second, okay? Because there are certain people, one of which is here with me in the bunker, my sweet darling. and she is here in the bunker, and you'll notice that she is currently drinking a late harvest white, and that's because she likes sweet, not because there was Coca-Cola in her bottle when she was nursing. It's because she prefers sweet. Now, here's an interesting question to you. And I know, don't be afraid to hurt her feelings. Either of you guys.
Well, she's another blonde, so we're kind of on the same team regardless.
Oh, we're trying to keep her identity so quiet. And now you've let yet another clue out. But here's the thing. Who has the more sophisticated palate? The one who likes the sweet wine or the one who likes the drier red?
I think she's smarter just because...
No, don't suck.
No, I have to tell her.
No, this isn't going to get you another appearance on the show just by doing that.
I was going to say white wine drinkers are smarter because if they spill on themselves when they're drunk, it doesn't stain as easily. So I think, you know, more power to the white wine drinkers.
Okay. I can't believe the show has gone this low. But no, it turns out that there's a lot of studies out there to suggest that the sweet wine drinker has a more sophisticated palate, and they're being called super tasters, a lot of them. Keith is sitting there going, I don't know about this.
Actually, while you were asking the question, I was kind of running through kind of scenario in my head, and the one would be, usually people start drinking more, I want to say bland's not the right word, but I was thinking about it in food. The older you get, the less it matters what you eat because you are tasting less,
right?
Over time. So when you said sweet, you know, that's someone who is somewhat adventurous. They're going out there and tasting a lot of wines. But you said the word sophisticated palate. They can tell the differences or nuances between different tastes.
Actually, I'm going to use the word sensitive.
Okay, I can see that. Now, because
the sweet wine drinker actually has a more sensitive palate.
See, that's counterintuitive to me, because what you're doing is mostly smelling. And
right.
The sweet aspect is only on one part of your tongue.
Right.
And to be a super taster, I guess you have to be more sensitive to those. So it's kind of like if you had super hearing, you wouldn't listen to loud music. And if you had super taste, you wouldn't drink something super sweet. I'll agree with the study, but it just seems
no, there's just a couple of studies that have popped up.
Yeah.
That suggest that a person who drinks sweet wines is not drinking them because they have a less sophisticated palate.
Oh, I wouldn't.
But
okay.
because they can't tolerate other wines, more complex wines, because they have more taste buds and they're tasting more. And so this is what they have to drink.
That I totally agree with. I could totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Because then it's only one tone rather than hearing, every car driving down the highway, and you can hear every radio on in every single one.
So, but this is where we turn it over to Katie.
Where do the studies come from? Who decides this?
Well,
graduate studies.
No, there are actually two or three different studies that we cited in the last show, and I don't want to go that deep right now because I'm running out of time.
Okay,
but I will tell
I
you, in case you're thinking that I'm making this up.
No, I'm not.
But I don't memorize all of this. But I will tell you that there are several that we cited in the last couple of shows, and you need only to go to grapeencountersradio.com and look at the last two shows, I believe, and you will see those studies right there. And we cite those, and you can go Google them to your heart's content. It's very interesting stuff. Okay, so last question then, okay? In the Sarlos & Sons tasting room, you do not serve any sweet wines, right?
No, we have no sweet wines.
How many people do you irritate because of that?
Oh, the thing, a lot of people come in and they get irritated with us, but we just let them down to the next winemaker down the street and let them know who has the sweet wines around here.
So why have you neglected these apparently very smart, sophisticated people, Keith?
Because
you didn't realize.
No, I guess we didn't realize. But number two, that really hasn't, you know, it's like saying, it's like having a chef and saying, why are you not making this particular food? I guess we haven't got to it yet.
Yeah, but I mean, in most restaurants, don't they try to make something for everybody?
Yeah.
So that, even the vegetarians can eat.
Well, our Chardonnay is more of a fruity. It's more of a crisp Chardonnay than anything. It's not necessarily your sweet wines, but it is along the lines of it.
And here's the truth of it. Down the street, Coquelicot, Louis Von Tonder,
yes,
makes Slow Hand, which is one of the best dessert wines I've ever had. And if I can't make it better than him, why would I make it?
Oh, Well, you have me baffled by that question, but it's just the idea.
But you know what I mean?
No, I do know what you mean, but it's just the idea that most wine tasting rooms do offer something sweet. However, I guess I can end.
We have cupcakes.
That's a good point. Tons. I can end it with my own analogy, and I hope that these people are not listening to this week's show. Last week, I was at a gathering where I helped cook. And there were, and this has happened to me before, I think I've told you this, and there were numerous people at this gathering, but there were two vegans. Mm-hmm. I'm not a vegan. In fact, Grape Encounters Radio is not a vegan show. Just so you know, we some animal products go into the making of this show.
We do. Beef.
And I was irritated, actually, because we had literally, and I'm sorry if you're a vegetarian or a vegan. I don't care if you're a vegetarian, but, you know, we had militant vegans at this gathering, and I had to prepare the meal under very, very strict conditions with people with weapons standing in the kitchen. I really don't like that, and it's kind of the same thing, is it not?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what if you want to, you can go right outside the door and munch on the shrubs and be perfectly happy, or go down the street and drink the sweet wine at the other guy's wine tasting room.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of the thing we want to do with our family is we want to grow, number one, grow the best grapes we can. Number two, grow the best grapes we can, so we have to do, hopefully, very little to make great wine.
Yeah.
And really, to be honest with you, if I have a friend who's doing something very, very well, like if I was a brewmaster, I would never set out to make a better beer than Pabst Blue Ribbon.
He's dead serious, too. There's no other beer he loves.
Okay, that's it.
But why would you try to make a beer better than, or make something better than someone you know who does it perfectly?
I had never realized until this moment that Pabst Blue Ribbon was the bar.
Anyway,
that's
it.
That's all we've got.
Can.
That's all we've got. I'm sorry. We have more.
Since 1893.
We have more Grape Encounters coming to you, but we've got more people waiting outside.
We're
going to
get kicked out of the
bunker. It's been very fun to have you guys here. Keith Sarlos, you're one of the few people who's been to the bunker, and you brought a beautiful woman with you, Katie Woods. And Katie, are you glad to have broken the gender barrier and come to the bunker?
I am. I hope I get invited back one day.
Okay. Yeah, but don't try to change the wet straw smell. We like it that way. More Grape Encounters coming your way. Thank you guys very much. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
It is the best beer on earth. How dare you? Tall cans.
You know, when we started this little unpretentious wine radio show more than a year and a half ago, I never dreamed that we would develop such a large listener base, but it's happened. We have so many people listening on regular radio and also listening to us on the internet. It really totally astounds me. And what astounds me more is how many of you write to us every single week, both on Facebook and on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. But you know, a lot of the letters that I get from you all are requests to talk about subjects that actually we've already talked about. So I want to encourage you to definitely check out the shows button on Grape Encounters Radio, because we've got every show that we've ever recorded archived there, and you can find a lot of great interviews with some really amazing people and a lot of discussions of some really, really interesting and fun topics. So be sure to check out shows at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. There's lots for you to listen to there.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Hey, Grape Encounters listeners, you know that I love to pitch the Sarlos & Sons wines, but you know what? Truth is, they're almost gone, and we've got here in the studio Katie Woods and Keith Sarlos. Tell me, inventory is almost done. What shall they do?
Well, we have about 20 cases left of our daughter Chardonnay. We have about 15 cases left of our Solo Syrah. We have about 50 cases left of our 1946 Syrah Cab Blend and less than 20 of our Bordeaux. But we will have more coming out at the beginning of next year.
Which is just a couple of months, right?
Yeah, we'll be out end of February, I believe. So we're 95% sold out of everything.
So your recommendation, Katie?
Go to the website, buy it before we raise the
Sarlos & Sons.com.
Sarlos & Sons, or go to the wine tasting room next door, right?
Absolutely.
No, seriously, guys, this is it. It's almost gone.
Yeah, once it's gone, it's gone forever. We never really remake wines. It's one-time deal.
Buy Sarlos & Sons at sarlosandsons.com.
We will sell out, but we're never selling out.
Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style.
I am David Wilson, the host of Grape Encounters Radio, coming to you from our super secret broadcast location. And if you started listening from the very beginning of the show, you remember I was talking about two wines that captured my imagination, Promiscuous and Monogamy. These were two wines that I took to a party after the Solvang Prelude bicycle ride last weekend. Anyway, loved the labels of these wines. In fact, I gotta say, I bought the wines because of the labels. The labels were so funny. I just wanted to bring the wines to this party that we were having so that everybody could enjoy the creativity that went into them, because it's all about fun, folks, here on Grape Encounters Radio. Anyway, I found this article, and unfortunately, I don't know who wrote it because I cut the citation off when I printed it on my computer, but anyway, all the same, it's a great little quotation about Promiscuous and Monogamy. And by the way, you wouldn't know that they were made by the same company because they list different wineries on the label. So anyway, but I did put two and two together. Anyway, this article states, times are serious, but wine not so much, according to Canopy Management of Napa, who released two new competitively priced brands, Promiscuous and Monogamy, last fall. Actually, that was last fall 2 years ago, but anyway, the story's still the same. Promiscuous wine, according to its label, is the act of blending multiple mutually attractive grape varieties in an assortment of unorthodox combinations, implies a wanton disregard for convention, may result in an intense sensory experience. Practice safe sipping. The Promiscuous brand is offered as a California red table wine, a California white table wine, and a Pinot Grigio. The wines are made from grapes sourced from California's cool climate growing regions. Promiscuous Red is a blend of Zinfandel, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Petit Syrah. Promiscuous White mixes Chardonnay, Chenin Blanc, and Gewürztraminer. Monogamy Canopy's Truly Madly Deeply wine is made using California North Coast Cabernet Sauvignon fruit blended with Merlot. According to the winery, Monogamy is a wine for those who choose to remain constant to their Cabernet Sauvignon passion. Anyway, so I read you the Promiscuous label. The Monogamy label reads like this. It says, you know you've experimented. It's a way to discover what you like and what you don't, what makes you happy, what satisfies your soul. It's how you know when you've found the one that makes you say, sorry, I'm with Cabernet. When you've met the love of your life, is there really any reason to keep looking? Cabernet Sauvignon is forever. Anyway, those are the labels of Promiscuous and Monogamy. Anyway,
The author stated, these wines are put out by a company called Canopy Management, and I decided I needed to learn more about this company because the wines really were very, very acceptable. I enjoyed them a lot. Anyway, turns out this is not some little boutique winemaking operation. No siree. This is an operation that's run by some very savvy people who have worked for some very big, very commercial, I might add, operations, and they are putting out a number of different wines that you might find interesting. Of course, there's Promiscuous, there is Monogamy, there is another label called Middle Sister, there is one called Purple Cowboy, Wine Sisterhood, Deep Purple, Good Daughter, Little Chica, Kate and Cassie, and I think actually a few more. And each of these wines has been given its own personality, like Middle Sister wines. Let me read you what their marketing people have written. It says, because we remember swim lessons and day camp and beach houses, because we forget bad boyfriends, missed birthdays and lost bracelets, because we like to eat, drink, and laugh, but we hate to do the dishes afterwards, because you have better hair, but I can karaoke, to celebrate all the reasons that bring us together, and because we think middle sisters sometimes deserve a little extra attention, this wine's for you. Share it with a sister soon. Anyway, for each of these wines, they have created, as I've said, a character, and it's real brilliant stuff. I don't want to read all of the positioning material for all of these brands, but let me tell you a little bit about Canopy Management, because they've got some super interesting people that are behind this very, very clever marketing concept. And I was looking at these people in absolute awe. Their first is Terry Wheatley, a chief marketing officer and founding partner. And they say that before founding their own wine company, Terry spent 14 years with Trinchero Family Estates, which is a Sutter Home Winery, holding senior sales and marketing positions, including senior vice president of sales and senior vice president of marketing. What a big company that is. Terry left Trinchero to create her own wine company where she could work with friends in the wine industry to create delicious, affordable wines with stories that come from life experiences. She was also with Ian J. Gallo. Brian Wirtz is the president, also a partner of this company, Canopy. And before joining Canopy Management as president and partner, Brian was senior vice president of sales for Southcorp. Upon the merger of Southcorp and Behringer Blass Wine Estates that formed Foster Wine Estates, Brian was appointed the VP of sales for the U.S., where he managed sales for approximately 18 million cases. And Brian began his career, like Terry, with E.J. Gallo. Very interesting. Then they have Natalie Wassum, who's a director of sales and marketing, who is a dynamic member of the new generation of wine industry professionals. Natalie brings both a youthful perspective and solid experience to the process of creating, marketing, and selling innovative wine brands. And the list goes on and on, like Mary Ann Vangren. She's the director of communications, and she also has a background doing campaigns at Sterling Mumm, Robert Mondavi, Sutter Home, Domaine Chandon, and more. They've got another guy, Mark Honer, who's vice president and partner, 20 plus years in the wine business. And again, he's been involved with Foster's and Gallo. So these folks worked with some really, really giant wine companies, but have created a family of wines that have been given their own special personality. It's super interesting. There's a lot of science, I think, and research that's gone into the formation of Canopy Management. And I want to get these guys on Grape Encounters Radio for sure. I've got to get somebody from this company on. I want to know what they're doing over there, because they're obviously doing it very, very well. And it comes from a great deal of experience. But unfortunately, that's all we've got for today on Grape Encounters Radio. We are gonna lasso the Canopy Management people and get them on maybe even in the next week or two if we can find somebody. But that's it for now. Much more coming your way next week on Grape Encounters Radio.